Montana talks here. Live and local. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
See, what I should do, I should have had somebody using spaces on X to see if they could listen to this show right now. You know what? That's what we'll do. Maybe we'll queue up. I'll text John Jackson or somebody to see if they can help us play around with this here. The great David Noble in the house here every Thursday in the 7 o'clock hour. Yeah, Inside Baseball. I put it out on X earlier this morning. Not only do we have a live radio show here in Montana with Montana Talks, and then we stream live through the Montana Talks app or through MontanaTalks.com and our various radio station apps. But I thought, you know, I keep hearing John Jackson and the crew talk about how they do these spaces conversations on X where you can open up the conversation to the whole world. And I thought, you know what, why don't we see if we can do this over spaces as well? And just see, it might be kind of fun. Maybe we could take callers through spaces one of these days. But anyway, David Noble, great to see you.
Great to be here. Montana Talks live from Billings, Montana, to the whole world, live from downtown Billings out to our audience worldwide, to our worldwide audience. Love to be here.
Oh, hey, so in the so if you're listening on Spaces, I can start to see a couple people jumping in. Tell me if you can hear it over Spaces yet or not, because I might have to press a button on my studio board here to make sure that we're feeding out via the computer here or something like that. Likewise, if you can't hear us, send me a note on X or reply on the Spaces, and we'll check that out.
Okay. No, I've been watching a lot of Bloomberg News just because the financial markets have been absolutely in turmoil. I'm still waiting for CNBC to run its Markets in Turmoil special. As soon as CNBC runs the Markets in Turmoil special, the markets turn around. So we're just waiting for that Markets in Turmoil Chiron, and then the markets will start coming back. But anyway, the Bloomberg broadcasters, they always start out their show live from Bloomberg's headquarters in New York City to our audience worldwide. And I was just like, what a cool way to start a broadcast live from downtown Billings to our audience worldwide.
You know, former New York City Mayor Michael Bloomberg is a left-wing gun control climate alarmist nut job. But Bloomberg TV and radio, I actually worked for Bloomberg TV and radio in Washington, D.C., and they had a free snack bar. And nice. We were like a block away from the White House. It was a great view, and they had a free snack bar, and I got to go do a whole bunch of cool things while killing time working for Bloomberg TV and radio before I shipped off from my infantry officer course down at Fort Benning, Georgia. Hey, I just had a very reliable tipster raise a good question. So, if the state of Montana delivers property tax relief, which I believe they will do, would that mean that the city of Billings would then lose money because of the property tax relief that would be forced upon them too? This was what my tipster just sent me. The bid for the new city hall in Billings, Montana, was $16 million. The final bill will be $43 million.
Where'd they come up with that money?
That was what he said. Where did all that extra money come from?
And as a taxpayer, I'm just so sick of the city saying it's the state, and the state saying it's the city, and then the county saying it's the state, and then the county saying it's the state. It's the government.
It's the government. And we, the people, deserve some property tax relief across the board. Figure it out, right?
Here's a look at your Montana weather for Billings and Bozeman. With mostly cloudy skies across the area today, we'll also see some rain showers moving in, especially this afternoon. High temperature readings will range from around 54 in Bozeman to the mid-60s in Billings. For tonight, we'll see areas of rain mixing with and turning to snow showers overnight with any accumulations less than an inch. Low in the mid-20s in Bozeman, 33 in Billings. That's a look at your Montana weather on Montana Talks. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley.
This is House Call for Health. A company that produces health analyzing devices tells us when we lose the most sleep, and it generally falls into two types of events. Withings says Americans tend to get bleary-eyed and lose sleep when two things happen. The data shows generally The worst night for sleep is when clocks spring forward to daylight saving time, as we just did last weekend. But in 2024, restlessness was the worst on November 5th, the night of the presidential election. Withings says Americans got 6 hours and 40 minutes of shut-eye, compared to the yearly average of 6 hours and 54 minutes. People in Colorado, Minnesota, and Massachusetts got the most time at rest, while those in New Jersey, Nevada, Texas, and California were counting sheep the most at around 6 hours and 49 to 51 minutes. For more health news, go to foxnewshealth.com. House Call for Health, I'm Lisa Brady, Fox News.
So there's a crazy Montana connection to the Sean Diddy Combs assault cases. Yeah, crazy Montana connection. The New York Times had a big story earlier this week, but they couldn't say which law firm in Billings, Montana was manning this whole call center. We found out the answer. It's all there. Go to MontanaTalks.com. Plus, how many Montanans have to get up and go to work each day just to pay for one federal employee? MontanaTalks.com.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Yeah, all right, good. We got John Jackson, the Joker from X, listening in on Spaces on X. So, John, we can do the are you hearing me now? Are you not hearing me now kind of thing. John, shoot me a note if you're hearing me now because our microphones are on. And then I pressed a couple of more buttons here in the studio as well. We'll see if that feeds back to you out live via Spaces on X. David Noble, man, I got a whole bunch of topics to cover here this morning. What do you want to cover? What do you want to sound off on this morning?
Well, I'm just obsessed with the markets right now because the stock market is just crashing, and I can't understand. Well, first of all, I was sort of hoping today that we would get news that Russia accepted the ceasefire deal. I hope we'd get news that the Democrats caved. Can we ever get a headline, Democrats cave to Republicans in Washington, D.C.? Does that ever happen anymore? I'm so sick. The Republicans control the Senate, and yet now we're going to have a shutdown unless Republicans cave to the Democrats, even though the Republicans just won the last election. This is crazy land, and it's just ridiculous, and somebody's got to call them on this. And I'm just sitting there thinking, okay, how inconsistent is a government shutdown with Doge's mission? Sounds pretty consistent to me. Can you imagine if we actually had a government shutdown? I wonder if Elon Musk and Donald Trump are sitting there behind the scenes saying, hey, Chuck Schumer and the Democrats are going to shut this thing down. Let's blame it on. And finally, do we have a president that can actually take the case to the American people and actually blame this on the Democrats and actually not roll over to the media when the media says, well, actually, because what happens is the Democrats... The Democrats demand 100% of everything they want, and they say, we're going to shut it down if we don't get every 100% of what we want. And then the Republicans say, well, you know, we'd like to see, you know, just 5% of what the Republicans want. And then the Democrats say, no way, we're going to shut it down unless you agree to this. And then it gets shut down, and then somehow it's the Republicans' fault because we didn't cave on the 5%. Even the Democrats were demanding 100% and wouldn't negotiate at all. And then the media will blame it on the Democrats. Do we finally have a president and a GOP in D.C. that will take that fight to the media and to the American people and win it? Because here's the deal. When you go to the American people and say, hey, we don't want a government shutdown, we want to fund the government, but we only want to fund it if it puts us on a path to fiscal sustainability or puts us on a path to and the Democrats are only willing to keep the government open if we continue with $2 trillion yearly deficits. That's the fight you win in the public square.
The Democrats are getting destroyed right now. How can they defend millions of dollars going to sex changes in Guatemala? Stacey Abrams had $100 in her bank account, and then all of a sudden she gets overnighted $2 billion of our money for her green scam. She should be behind bars. I was chatting with some friends about this yesterday. You remember after the Obama stimulus payments? After the Obama stimulus plan, and there was millions of dollars going out all over the country, there were tribal leaders that a few years later got thrown behind bars for misusing those funds. I had a prosecutor tell me that it was, quote, like shooting fish in a barrel because Obama sent out so much money and then the money got mismanaged. And the Democrats had no problem throwing tribal leaders behind bars in a heartbeat for mismanaging federal funds. Why aren't they going after all their liberal white folks right? In the same vein, right?
Right.
When it comes to the fraud, waste, and abuse that is being uncovered right now. I mean, Stacey Abrams should likely be behind bars for what her and Biden did these last few years.
That reminds me of Kamala Harris throwing people in jail and in prison for using marijuana when she was a prosecutor and the attorney general, but then later on laughing and joking about how she used marijuana herself too. It's the same thing. These Democrats will throw tribal leaders in jail for mismanaging money, but then laugh and joke about all the other mismanagement that you see. It's totally unfair. It's totally unjust. And it's like these Democrats don't. I loved your point. What did you say? These Democrats don't care about the spotted owl. They don't care about the prairie. And it's true. They don't care. And they don't care about this other stuff too. They don't care about the deficit. It's like anytime the Republicans say, hey, you know, actually one of the actual legitimate jobs of the federal government is actually military and controlling immigration and the border. That's actually the main reason we even have a federal government is the military and immigration controls. And Republicans say, well, hey, maybe we should spend some money on the military and on immigration since that's really the only reason we even have a federal government. That's one of the main purposes and the most important job. And then the Democrat, oh, well, suddenly, no, we care about the balanced budget. We're spending too much. You guys are spending. Give me a break.
So the Senate GOP actually had a couple of great tweets out in the last 24 hours. Of course, they're calling this the Schumer shutdown, shutdown Schumer. And earlier in the 6 o'clock hour, I talked about how, look, we would be seeing the fear porn of a government shutdown every day, even in the liberal Montana media, if they thought that Republicans were trying to shut down the government. But now that it's Schumer shutting down the government, potentially no fear porn in the local media, no day-to-day headlines about what would a government shutdown do to Yellowstone. And yeah, and then John Jackson, he made that great point on X yesterday, which is like, hey, you know, when the Democrats ran the Senate, there were no deals being brokered. They weren't looking to give a deal to a handful of Republicans in order to get a CR across the finish line. So why in the heck do you think they deserve a deal now?
Well, the other thing,
don't even play their game.
And what is Chuck Schumer's problem with the CR? This is not a CR that's some hardcore conservative CR. As far as I can tell, it's really not that conservative at all.
It's actually too much spending. We all would agree it's still too much spending, but it's what we got to do in the short term and then eventually get that one big beautiful bill. But yeah, the Senate GOP raised that question, like, why is Chuck Schumer opposed to this CR? He has no reason. He has publicly stated for opposing it other than he just doesn't like Donald J. Trump.
That's ridiculous. And no stories about how, like, the trail clearing crews aren't going to be able to clear trails if we have a shot. Well, what about stories about how, hey, maybe the Forest Service is not going to be able to replace a footbridge that got washed out by a flood 3 or 4 years ago if we have a shut? No stories about that.
All right. Hey, it looks like we're going live on Spaces right now as well. Even though you can hear David and I in studio, you won't be able to hear the news and the weather and the Farm and Ranch report that we're breaking into on the radio right now. But I want to get to a couple callers on the phone lines next to make sure that our friends on Spaces get to hear our callers on the phone lines as well. So, yeah, just a test live on Spaces on X this morning for you, just
this
for fun.
This is the Montana Economic Minute.
King or queen for the day on housing policy and regulation, what would you do? I, for one, would resist the urge to add more policies.
Hi, David, we're gonna,
there are dozens
we're
and dozens already, many of which are expensive and totally ineffective. I'd pull a plug on things like the deductibility of mortgage interest on federal income tax, which do nothing to affect the home ownership rate and actually help people buy bigger houses. I'm especially leery of adding policies that help people afford housing. Not that people don't need help for affording housing, far from it. But such policies don't lower housing prices, they support low-income households. My King for the Day directive would be to focus on actions that boost housing supply. In fact, if people are talking about things that don't impact the supply, I'd table this discussion. We need to start measuring our performance in permitting new housing across cities and then prod those places to make progress. Growth restrictions are too popular for many places to do it on their own. I'm Patrick Buckey.
Brought to you by the University of Montana Bureau of Business and Economic Research.
Donald Trump's America.
President Trump says with tariffs, the United States will take back what was stolen by other countries.
This country needed somebody to defend it. It's this big, beautiful place that was being ripped off.
The president moved ahead on 25% tariffs on all steel and aluminum imports and says he is not reconsidering charging countries reciprocal tariffs on products they sell to the U.S.
We have been abused really for a long time. And we will be abused no longer.
The European Union and Canada announced reciprocal tariffs of their own on American bourbon, agriculture, sporting equipment, and electronics. And the U.S. stock market has reacted mostly negatively as investors worry about tariff inconsistency.
It's called flexibility. It's not called inconsistency. It's called flexibility.
Sitting alongside Ireland's Prime Minister, President Trump said the EU was created to take advantage of the U.S. At the White House, Jared Halpern, Fox News.
This is where Montana talks at with Lane Nordlund.
Yesterday, U.S. Environmental Protection Agency Administrator Lee Zeldin announced a major revision to the waters of the United States definition.
To make sure that we are fixing WOTUS once and for all, that we are pursuing a definition that is simple, that is durable, and it will withstand the test of time. Our goal in going through this process is not to be an activist in going through a procedure. This is to simply follow the rule of law.
Agriculture groups are applauding the decision. Mary Thomas Hart is chief counsel for the National Cattlemen's Beef Association, and she points out that since the Clean Water Act was enacted back in 1972, there have been 14 different regulatory iterations of waters of the U.S.
That's untenable if you're trying to manage a business, plan future land management actions, plan how to pass your ranch on to the next generation. How we manage our land impacts all of those decisions.
Environmentalists have cautioned that restricting the definition of a regulated waterways could harm wetland protection efforts. The EPA says they will seek input from stakeholders on the revised water rules for a public comment process. I'm Lane Nordlund.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, we got some fun. I'm going to record this Spaces audio so I can go back and listen to how it sounds. So, yeah, it sounds like our live simulcast on Spaces right now is working. John Jackson says he's got us Lima Charlie here. Let's see if the phone calls come through for our friends on Spaces this morning as well. Let's start with Tim in Shepherd. Tim, I hope you're still there. Sorry for the wait. What's going on?
Well, I'm still here. I've heard a lot of criticism of government employees. I just wanted to say I have some intimate knowledge of behavioral health providers with the government, and I'll say that they come to work early, they leave late, and they work really hard to provide services, behavioral health services, and that the community pays a lot more, anywhere from $100 to $200 per hour. Where the federal government, we have a hard time even hiring people because we're not competitive. So there are a lot of frontline workers that do a really good job, that provide really good specific services to a population that the community has a hard time meeting. So not all of our government workers are, you know, bloated. Definitely, if you wanted to hit something, I think mid-level management would be a good place to start.
Well, that's the thing. No, great call. Thanks for the call there, Tim. I appreciate it. And the callers are being heard on X as well on Spaces right now. So, Tim, appreciate that. Yeah, David, I've said that before. There are some incredible federal workers and federal employees doing very important jobs. And, you know, we always mention that, but, man, look at the fraud, waste, and abuse that's being uncovered right now. What's ironic about these federal worker jobs is, like, you get some important federal jobs like firefighters, and they're seasonal jobs, and they're underpaid, and they don't get the benefits. And then you get some of these people that work for the federal government, and they're getting paid very well, and they're living high on the hog. And in some small towns in Montana, they live like kings compared to the working men and women that lose their jobs as a result of the federal government policies sometimes. So it's quite the irony sometimes.
Yeah, I agree with all that. I think that's a great point. I agree with the caller, too. I think there are great federal employees. However, it takes a very unique person to be able to counteract the human nature and the organizational theory that really leads to government workers basically not working as hard as you would in the private sector. And if you've done any kind of theoretical study, organizational theory, human nature theory, what you find is that, and this is basically why communism fails, is they never take into account human nature. But what you have is, if you, and this applies to nonprofits, this applies to universities, this applies to the government, but when you have an organization like that, and it's not a private business, and you don't have an owner that's walking around the office, and he's the owner, or she's the owner, and they're making sure the business is running right and that workers are working hard. And if you don't have financial incentives for your employees to work hard or to do this, that, the other thing, it's just human nature that you eventually, most people will eventually sort of slip into sort of a lazy attitude, not working as hard. And I have quite a bit of experience dealing with government workers in my job as an attorney, because I get into disputes with DEQ or, you know, the Department of Environmental Quality or whatever agency or government. And I'll tell you, like, you know what? I send a lot of emails to federal and state government workers, and I get emails back, hey, sorry, I'm working from home for the week. I'll get back to you in 3 weeks, and you don't hear from them for 3 months. And, you know, that kind of thing happened a lot during COVID, and you still sort of see it. And so I agree there's great federal government employees. However, the nature of a government and organizations and theoretically how humans behave in situations like that when you don't have an owner, you don't have a profit incentive, it naturally tends towards waste and abuse, unfortunately.
Well, it's crazy. You know, having been, I'm now retired as a guardsman and a reservist, but serving in the Guard and the Reserves, you know, I'd be gone for military training, sometimes for a month or longer, and the great David Noble would do a great job filling in for me, so he would sacrifice to cover down on the show, and so would others. But like, man, for me to leave my private sector job, like, it's like, holy cow, like, I got to figure out a replacement. I got to figure out what's going to happen with the website. What's going to happen with the show? You know, am I going to lose money because I'm gone and not on the radio, not doing those endorsements? And like, and then, whereas like, if I there were a lot of people that were like, yeah, that's why I love having a federal job. I thought about it. It's like, if I had a federal job, I could have made more money. I would have had better benefits for being gone while serving the country in the military. Like,
and if you left,
and I wouldn't have had to worry about my job. I'd be like, oh, so what? I'm gone. Whatever. They'll figure it out. Whereas, like, in the private sector, you don't have that option.
Right.
You got to figure it out.
And then when you see the statistics and the studies that show that federal government workers make more than their private sector counterparts in the exact same job, that is immoral and unjust and needs to change.
And then you burn vacation time, because when you come back, you can't be gone from your day job too much.
Yeah.
Even if your employer would allow you, it's just you have a commitment to your listeners and to your advertisers to keep the show rolling.
And look, the entire premise of our Constitution, Aaron, is based on an understanding of what governments do. That's why you have a limited government with limited powers and separation and checks and balances, because our founding fathers knew that governments tended to grow and get bloated and tended towards waste, fraud, and abuse, which is why you limit it, you constitutionally limit it, you separate the powers, and you deal with it that way.
All right, Curtis in Billings, I hope you're still on the phone line. We'll get to you in for the Montana Talks app listeners, you just heard the Fox News update. We might have been quiet for 60 seconds on Spaces, just having a little fun playing with a live simulcast on Spaces this morning. Let's go to Curtis in Billings. Earlier, we were talking about property taxes. Curtis, what did you want to share? Thanks for calling in.
Well, my question is, as a U.S. citizen, don't I have the right to own property?
Yeah, right? In theory, right?
And so, like, if I got to pay an arbitrary amount to the government in perpetuity, like forever, and if I die, my kids have to keep paying that, we don't own the property. The government owns the property. They can take it away from us at any time. So isn't property tax in their current state unconstitutional? Don't they need to be changed some way so that I can actually own my property?
All right. Thanks for the question. And of course, David, you're a lawyer. Now, taxes were allowed because of an amendment to our Constitution. But property taxes, I mean, first off, he's totally right. What we see with our property tax system here in Montana right now, this is a tax on unrealized gains.
That's a great point, yeah.
We are taxed based off of the value of our home, not what we paid for our home. And that's the way across many parts of the country. And that is a tax on unrealized gains. And what people are saying is, like, you get people that get taxed out of their homes because they can't afford the property taxes. So do we really own our private property like we should in America if we can be taxed out of owning it? Or are we just simply renting it from the government at that point?
Right. I agree. Of course, there's a very, very clear-cut black-letter law answer, which is no, property taxes are not unconstitutional according to the United States Supreme Court, period. End of story. Not unconstitutional. Supreme Court's already decided that. That's pretty clear and obvious. Of course, states are sovereign entities. You know, the states are actually the original sort of foundation for our government. And so you start with, and that's what I was just talking before the break. The federal government is supposed to be of limited power. They're supposed to deal with the military and immigration and, you know, bankruptcy laws and post offices. That's basically all they're supposed to do. Of course, now they do everything. But the idea was that the states would basically have more of these sort of generalized powers. Now, I agree with the caller that conceptually and theoretically that you don't really own your property if you basically have to pay the government thousands of dollars every year. Otherwise, you lose your property. And you do lose your property if you don't pay your property taxes. And the Supreme Court has upheld that as constitutional as well. But, you know, that's the big fight. My thing is, okay, look. If we've got the city of Billings saying, hey, we're already spending 78% of our revenues on the police and the fire. If we were to go to your plan, Aaron, and tax people on what they paid for their house, then what does the city of Bill? We have to cut 50% of our police force here in the city. I mean, what's the outcome of that? And we got to have, I don't know, we got to replace it with something. Otherwise, you're going to lose all the police force. And I do think that police and firefighter obviously is a good use of taxpayer funding at the local level.
Hey, we're going to, David and I will keep the conversation going during the break for our friends joining us on X on Spaces right now. For our radio listeners and our app listeners, just for today, don't worry, just for today. We'll be back with you right after the break. But for our X listeners, stand by. Caden's going to mute my mic for everybody else.
Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
This is where Montana talks.
Now I'm like the old grandpa trying to Skype. Remember Skype back in the day? Skype finally shut down. I'm like, how do I talk to you on the Spaces? John Jackson, I want to test the Spaces thing. How do I cue you up and bring you in on the conversation here? I don't know if I click him or what. What I got to do.
Well, hey, Aaron,
have you ever played around with Spaces?
I have not. I do Twitch.
TV. Yeah, yeah.
And although I have oftentimes thought about how cool it would be to live stream a video live feed from the studio onto Twitch. Of course, I don't know if we could do that. But Aaron, I want to bring up something because you were talking about the professors at the universities and that wasteful grant that they had here in Montana and the university professors wasting our dollars on the climate change in Africa study thing. I don't know if you saw this, but the Columbia University professors are in a civil war. There is a civil war amongst the Columbia University professors between the engineers and the doctors and the humanities and the political science professors about how they respond to all this because, I don't know if you saw, Trump took away $400 million in federal grants to Columbia University because they're not protecting racial minorities and religious minorities on their campus, and they're allowing terrorists to run wild on their campus and harm religious and racial minorities on their campus, and that's just not allowed. And so you don't get federal grants if you're not going to follow federal law on those issues. But the doctors and the engineers at Columbia are basically in an uproar because they want Columbia University to go into a big, big crackdown on the pro-Hamas, pro-terrorist supporters on campus. And the humanities professors and the political science professors are saying, no, like, we want to push back against Trump. And the doctors and the engineers are like, we're losing all of our grants. Like, and I just found that was so interesting because you're sort of seeing the same thing here in Montana where you've got at these universities, you've got professors that some of them are engineers and doctors or other scientists
doing really important work.
And then you have the humanities and the poli-sci professors and everything supporting Hamas and causing universities to lose grants and causing it. And it's like, isn't that interesting? Like, the economics professors are the only professors that ever, like, lean right on any campus, you know? It's just so interesting.
And what's also interesting about it is, this is a great point that David's making here, is that they're not MSU and UM are not going to lose all of their research grants. They're still going to do very well with research grants. They've got a research arm at MSU in Bozeman. They've got a research arm at the University of Montana-Missoula. They're going to continue to do very well. It's the stupid grants that are getting cut. It's the stupid programs that are getting cut. So if you have your stupid, woke, climate alarmist crap at MSU or UM, yeah, you're probably going to lose that. Case in point, the University of Montana, the Department of Defense, remember Sean Parnell, the DOD spokesman, went on X and named a bunch of $80 million of DOD spending that they believe is wasteful. And they mentioned a program at the University of Montana. It was a democracy something or other program at the University of Montana. That grant is getting cut. And that grant is at the Mansfield Center at the University of Montana. Well, I know because of my background in, Army Special Operations that the Mansfield Center has actually a really beneficial program for critical languages that is especially helpful for our special operations community. That program is not being cut. So the stuff that is not essential to the DOD mission is being cut. The stuff that is essential to the DOD mission is staying in effect.
I saw a reel on Instagram from some Montana outfitters, and they had some videos up, and they were like, hey, FYI to the Democrats and the federal government, us private outfitters in Montana have been doing trail clearing in the national forest for decades and decades and decades before Forest Service trail clearers ever did it. So hats off to all the private outfitters out there that are clearing trails for everybody that's out there using that. But you're such a good point. What I was going to say is, I don't know if you know Richard Lindzen, MIT scientist, one of the world's top climate scientists in the world, Richard Lindzen from MIT. What he says is, if you are a scientist in any field, in anything, and if you want a grant from the federal government, and this was obviously before the Trump administration took his exam, you had to include something about climate change to get your grant. So what he said is, hey, let's say you're a scientist and you study squirrels, and you really want to do a study on like the mating habits of squirrels in the Pryor Mountains. Okay, you submit a grant and say, hey, I want to do a study on the mating habits of squirrels in the Pryor Mountains. You'll get denied, 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 denied. You submit a grant request that says, hey, I want to do a study on how climate change is impacting the mating habits of squirrels in the Pryor Mountains. Boom, you get that grant approved every single time.
Yeah, very interesting. Okay, so I'm still playing around with this spaces thing here. So I clicked the button. Let me just try this. I think John Jackson is still listening here. Okay, John, let's see here. John, do you got us? I'm gonna see if we can hear you coming in from Spaces on X right now, instead of phone lines, instead of, an app call or whatever. John, are you there?
John? I got you, Lily Charlie. Help me.
Okay, you're coming in garbly, and this has happened before because... it's coming in garbled, but thanks for the test there. I had the same thing. I was trying to do interviews via Teams, and it's a technical issue between my board and the computer here. So
audio engineering is with my live stream, I do a double PC setup, and so I've got one PC that's actually encoding the audio and the video and sending it out, and then another PC that I'm on that I can play videos on or do whatever, and like trying to run, and then I've got my mic and trying to get my microphone audio to go to both PCs, and then to get to the audio from one PC to go to the other PC, and then to come it's such a mess.
Oh man, and I went to journalism school. You think I'm going to figure that out? No.
Yeah.
If I could figure that out, I would have gone to engineering school.
Well, yeah.
Actually, though, I really like the garbled sound on John Jackson's voice here. It sounds like he's an undercover operative disguising his voice,
right,
like with a garbled radio transmission. Bravo 2. This is Bravo 3. So, John, I'm going to cue you up again. Hey, John, give us your reaction to shut down Schumer in your garbled, digitized voice here. Make it sound extra creepy if you can, or something.
How is it coming over now? How you copy?
Wait, okay, I didn't mean that kind of creepy. You're not Joe Biden whispering in somebody's ear creepy. Just garbled undercover operator creepy.
Well, it's going to be fun to see, are they actually going to do this? Because that is going to box, the Democrats are boxed in with this thing here. Because this is an absolutely clean CR, and if Schumer doesn't want to provide the votes, this is their shutdown.
That's exactly right. I love the garble. It sounds like he's coming in from his underground bunker in the Paradise Valley of Montana or something.
That's exactly my thought that John had there, too. It's like, what is Schumer thinking? Like, this is, you know, of course, I don't think a clean CR is clean. I think that what Washington, D.C. calls a clean CR, I call a dirty CR, because how are you going to call it clean
exactly.
when it sets us on a path towards more trillions of dollars deficits? And, of course, I don't think John would disagree with us on saying, hey, we don't want CRs, we want actual budgets, we want spending cuts, et cetera, et cetera. And it's disappointing to see the Republicans and Trump pass a CR like this. But you hear them and say, hey, we want to try to do it in September. The problem is we've heard that a million times. We'll fight on the next one. And so, you know, hopefully, good. Let's Schumer, shut this thing down, Schumer, and let's fight this out. And maybe that gives us a chance to actually get a better CR after the end of that fight, because I don't think the Democrats win that fight in the public sphere.
Yeah, I think so. And I think John made this point on X as well, which is like, okay, what happens in a government shutdown? What's happened in every government shutdown? The federal employees, they love it more than anybody else because, well,
it's a paid vacation.
If you're essential, well, you still go to work, you still do your work, but you have fewer annoying coworkers to deal with. Caden's like, that sounds really nice, because he's got to deal with an annoying coworker out here all morning long. But and then the rest of you, like, you go home and eventually you get a paid vacation and everything goes back to normal. It's happened over a dozen times. But doesn't this end up making Doge's point for us and for them? Because you've just said, well, this is really all that's essential out there. And isn't Doge saying we kind of need to get back to the essentials because we're $36 trillion in debt and we have a $2 trillion annual deficit? So maybe they actually show what Doge really should be funding and not funding is another thing, right?
Exactly. And I wonder what the power of the presidency does under a government shutdown with respect to some of these things that Trump has been trying to do in terms of mass layoffs and things like that. I mean, if you're in a government shutdown and, hey, these are non-essential, wouldn't that tend to increase the president's power to do a mass layoff? It's like, hey, we're shut down. Everybody agrees you're non-essential. We're $2 trillion deficits. We got $36 trillion in debt, $2 trillion adding $2 trillion to that a year. I mean, I don't know. I think there's maybe some opportunities there for Doge and Trump to make some progress.
You mentioned something about the stock market earlier in the hour. I've got a note here from Stephen Moore with the Committee to Unleash Prosperity that ties in right with what David Noble said earlier in the hour. Our radio listeners, stand by. Caden's going to mute my microphone, and you got a great Tommy Lahren commentary coming up and more. For our Spaces listeners, David, Caden will mute our mics, and then we'll keep yapping with you here during the break.
At T-Mobile, our critical mission is providing unparalleled 5G coverage for when connectivity is mission critical. Introducing T-Priority, America's best 5G network experience for first responders, even in times of congestion. More capacity, faster speeds, better coverage. T-Priority from T-Mobile, built for tomorrow's emergencies, ready today. Discover more at t-priority.com.
For qualifying organizations on eligible rate plans, coverage not available in some areas and may be impacted by emergencies.
Fox News commentary.
Democrats once again find themselves not only on the wrong side of the political issue, but the wrong side of history as they go out of their way to defend pro-Hamas, anti-American filth. I'm Tommy Lahren. More next.
It's the Will King Show.
Russian, Ukrainian, European, but most importantly, he says, American stockpiles, resources, and security on bad footing. Given that, we recognize reality and we pursue peace. This is a fascinating restructure of the global political landscape that many are having trouble keeping up with, as I think J.D. Vance and Donald Trump remake America.
Get the podcast 5 days a week at foxnewspodcasts.com or wherever you download your favorite podcasts.
Democrats find themselves defending a non-citizen who has led the charge of disgusting anti-Semitism on college campuses and helped inspire an anti-Semitic violent and grotesque movement in one of our great American cities. Mahmoud Khalil was detained by ICE under the direction of Secretary of State Marco Rubio. The Immigration and Nationality Act states an alien whose presence or activities in the U.S. the Secretary of State has reasonable ground to believe would have potentially serious adverse foreign policy consequences for the United States is deportable. If you come here and stir up anti-Semitism, fought a jihad or terrorist ideals, this administration will kick you out. And the world should be on notice that the U.S. is not the dumping ground for your trash. We will, under this administration, return to sender. I'm Tommy Lahren, and you can watch my show, Tommy Lahren is Fearless, at OutKick.com.
Here's a look at your Montana weather for Billings and Bozeman. With mostly cloudy skies across the area today, we'll also see some rain showers moving in, especially this afternoon. High temperature readings will range from around 54 in Bozeman to the mid-60s in Billings. For tonight, we'll see areas of rain mixing with and turning to snow showers overnight with any accumulations less than an inch. Low in the mid-20s in Bozeman, 33 in Billings. That's a look at your Montana weather on Montana Talks. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley.
Not completing high school is more of a social thing than it was an academic thing. Even though all these years have passed, I still had that longing to have my diploma.
At age 30, Carissa finished her high school diploma.
If you're even considering getting your high school diploma, you can do it.
No one gets a diploma alone. If you're thinking of finishing your high school diploma, you have help. Find free adult education classes near you at finishyourdiploma.org. That's finishyourdiploma.org.
For a free consultation and MRI review, start your journey to pain-free living now. Visit BillingsBackPain.com. Not a provider for Medicare or Medicaid.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, let's sneak in another quick phone call here. Just a few minutes left with the great David Noble in the house. By the way, for those of you on Spaces, you're probably already following him on X. If not, at LectureFan, at LCTRFan. Let's go to Chris in Billings. Chris, you're live on Montana Talks, and you're live worldwide on Spaces and on the Montana Talks app. What's going on?
Cool, guys. I don't have skin in the game, but I'd make a comment about the state taxes. I think the visitors or the non-resident way to ease some of the taxes is great. My point is the government shutdown. You're not going to change everybody's mind, but this is so glaring that I think people that are on the fence or are paying attention are going to get a snapshot of how the government, how crazy it is. You know what I'm saying?
I agree. And the Doge waste, fraud, and abuse, the spending they've been finding has really opened up people's eyes. I mean, even former Speaker of the House, Newt Gingrich, was on with, I think, Jesse Waters last time. He's like, even I am shocked at how much waste, fraud, and abuse and the crazy programs that they're finding. That's a great point that Chris in Billings is making here, David, because even 4 years ago, 5 years ago, 6 years ago, these types of cuts and elimination of some of these federal jobs would have been met by outrage by the American people. But after what we've seen exposed in the waste, fraud, and abuse, and after what we saw during COVID-19 and the Russia collusion hoax, I think the American people are fed up. They've had enough. And now not just are folks in Washington finally ready and willing to do what needs to be done to save this country, but more importantly, the American people are ready and willing to do what needs to be done to save this country.
I think so. And I think the reason for that, Aaron, is a massive change in the media landscape and a massive change in where people are getting their news. I think the caller made a great point about, you know, one thing that we could do here to reduce the tax burden on us here living here in Montana would be to get these visitors and Turons, the Turons of Yellowstone. you follow that. There's an Instagram account called Turons of Yellowstone.
Oh, it's hilarious, yeah. And then the hipsters of Bozeman is another hilarious.
If you're not following Turons.
It gets sometimes, though. It's like, come on, the guy's just sitting there having a beverage, or the gal. Like, do you really got to pick on the lady on Main Street that bad, you know? But like the Turons is hilarious.
Yeah. No, the hipsters of Bozeman, you'll see, like, there'll be, like, a clip, like, a guy riding a unicycle down Main Street in Bozeman, that type of a thing, you know?
with a cheap cowboy hat, you know?
So it goes back to, like, the fair tax idea, and I don't know if you remember Neil Bortz. Neil Bortz was a conservative AM talk radio host. He wrote a book called The Fair Tax that basically was suggesting getting rid of the federal income tax totally getting rid of the federal income tax and going exclusively to a national sales tax. And there's a whole bunch of benefits. Number one, you tax tourists and foreigners. You tax the black market, because right now drug dealers don't pay federal income taxes. They would pay a federal sales tax when they take their drug money and go buy a nice car. You know, so you capture the black market, you capture tourists. So, and then there's no compliance costs. Like right now, we're spending so much money as a country complying with federal and filing your taxes, and people are spending hundreds or thousands of dollars on accountants and tax prep every year. Get rid of all that. I mean, there's a whole bunch of benefits to it, but
speaking of the black market, I heard a brilliant idea yesterday. I was having a cigar with some guys. How do we prevent the black market from overtaking the legal marijuana market in Montana, basically, was the question. That's what Stacey Zinn and others have been trying to, you know, talk about in Helena. Anyway, I'll save that one for the 8 o'clock hour coming.
Well, we're
short on time.
Well, some of those bills they've got going, they're going to increase the black market. I mean, if they reduce the THC percentage, you increase the black market.
If they do it with the smokable, the plant products, but with the edibles and some of that other stuff, they do need to lower the THC. That's not me saying that. That's Stacey Zinn saying that, because she's recognizing you have to set some limits, but you can't do it in a way that only pushes people into the black markets, into the hands of the cartels. But stock market. All these people freaking out about the daily gyrations in the stock market. Remember, this is from Stephen Moore. Remember President Trump's first 4 short years. The NASDAQ doubled, the S&P rose by 70%, and the Dow by more than 50%. He's going to do it again.
This is the Montana Economic Minute.
King or queen for the day on housing policy and regulation, what would you do? I, for one, would resist the urge to add more policies. There are dozens and dozens already, many of which are expensive and totally ineffective. I'd pull a plug on things like the deductibility of mortgage interest on federal income tax, which do nothing to affect the home ownership rate and actually help people buy bigger houses. I'm especially leery of adding policies that help people afford housing. Not that people don't need help for affording housing, far from it. But such policies don't lower housing prices, they support low-income households. My King for the Day directive would be to focus on actions that boost housing supply. In fact, if people are talking about things that don't impact the supply, I'd table this discussion. We need to start measuring our performance in permitting new housing across cities and then prod those places to make progress. Growth restrictions are too popular for many places to do it on their own. I'm Patrick Buckey.
Brought to you by the University of Montana Bureau of Business and Economic Research.